All right. So, welcome to NOTG. Today, we're going to do AMA, Ask Me Anything. But before that, let me invite Angeline to be our questioner. Is there such a word called questioner or questionnaire? Is it questioner?
Yeah.
All right. Let's welcome Angeline.
My Forrester at Mount Faber condo, being in the heart of Greater Southern Waterfront Transformation Plan, has its resale price stagnant since launch till today.
Great question. I'm not sure whether are you owning this property at Forrester or you are planning to buy, but it's a good question. So, let's have a look at one key so-called like detail to understand why is this project stagnating until today. Okay, so have a look at this. This is a price trend for Forrester at Mount Faber. It was launched around the 2011 period, midpoint of 2011. And then of course, until now, 2024, you can see that. Why is it that the price graph is like almost horizontal? We call this stagnation. Of course, this is a freehold product, fantastic product in the sense that it's a great project, nice project if you've been there before. The architecture, everything is pretty sound. It's also very near to the MRT station. 141 units, good density in the sense that it's not too crowded. It's also above 100, although usually we preach about getting a project that's more than 300 units for more volume effect. Now, there's one key thing about this that even though it's freehold, yes, we got it. It's freehold, it's high rise, near to MRT station, but the launch date was actually in the crossfire zone. So I think one possibility was that when it was launched in 2011, 2012, it was the rising peak of the market in the sense that that was the season when shortly after it was launched and during the construction period, TDSR in 2013 was implemented. Now, that TDSR in 2013 was actually a shifting point because we actually had shown this graph a couple of times before. So this was the graph that we always talk about in the sense that if you look at this center dividing line, why is it that we look at unit sizes 2000 to 2013 and then 2014 to 2022? Is because at this shifting point, TDSR 2013 was implemented. Everybody took a hit in their purchasing power because your debts will be taken into consideration, your car loans, your credit card loans and everything. And there's a haircut on everybody's income. If you're self-employed or business owner, there's a deeper haircut as well. And thus, this created a purpose create. And they shifted to smaller units. The market took a hit. If you look at the entire price graph of our price index, right? Technically, the entire market went through like a period of adaptation. I call it a period of adaptation. So let me just bring out the entire graph. So 2013, look at this. TDSR was implemented, but before that, actually, we got about 8 rounds. 9th round was one of the killer. So TDSR implemented, market dipped slightly, stagnated all the way until 2016 before QE happens in US, and then the market started to push upwards because of monetary inflation policies, asset inflation, and things like that. Everything started to happen. Lots of liquidity injection into M2 money supply, floods into the whole world. Safety net, definitely real estate at the end game. So this caused basically like a period of adaptation. And I think that could be one of the reasons why Forrester actually took a hit. Not all is lost. Basically, I think this is a great product. The only thing now is, do you think, if let's say you want to enter into the property, this in comparison with what is happening around the Mount Faber area or the Greater Southern Waterfront area, is this a good deal? Is this a good buy? I think in terms of PSF now, makes sense, definitely, because it's about 2,000 PSF or, I mean, you can still see some bigger units at about 1,600. I think it makes sense. I mean, even if you go in at around 1,800, 1,900, 2,000, it makes a lot of sense for a freehold product compared to the new launches nowadays that you see in OCR region. It's already $2,000 per square foot. I think this is something you can enter. But of course, if you fall on the other side of the spectrum, if you own this property, I can feel the pain. Because I own one to two properties that have stagnated as well in the past. I bought in based on FOMO. And it's quite painful to know that, you know, you bought in 2011 until now, 12 years already, it hasn't shifted. So the question is, if you are holding on to this property, do you want to wait? Or are you at a life stage that you have more earning ability that allows you to buy an asset that can move faster? If you fall into the category, for example, you can afford a landed or a bigger property that is in a better project inherent characteristic factor, then I would suggest you to strongly consider to plan towards that route, to switch, take your capital out of this, take your name out of this, because your name is more precious than the performance. Shift to a property that can move faster within the next 3 years, because this might still need time to adapt. Why? Because the existing owners owning the properties here, maybe their mindset is that, okay, it has not performed. I don't make significant profit. I'll just keep it for rental. And thus, that could be one of the reasons why the volume is low. So I think with that, if you can shift, shift. If let's say you don't need to shift, you want to keep it as rental play, I think it's still okay. All right, let's move on to the next question.
In 2024, would you recommend to decouple my EC and buy a second condo or sell it to purchase a landed 299 years condo or one freehold on 999 landed?
All right, so I think a clear cut question. My own opinion is that I think if you have the current ability, the next 5 years, it'll be fantastic for landed. Why? Landed has already moved pretty significantly, especially for inter-terraces and semi-D. In the last 3 years, now it's stabilizing. And based on my observation and research, it moves once every 5 years in an accelerated fashion. So 2024, 2025, I think it will stabilize in terms of price growth. It will still have single digit growth per year because landed property owners have strong holding power. They have no need to sell. There are only 73,000 landed in Singapore. And I think if you can find something now in the range of 4.5 to 5.5, whether is it like a corner or an older semi-D, go straight in, get it, freehold 999, and then you should see an accelerated growth in the next 5 years. I mean, starting from 2024 plus 5, 2029, I think these 5 years, you're going to enjoy some level of growth that will outperform your 2x99 years condo. Rationale is this. The overall quantum, if it makes sense for you, let's say 4.5 to 5.5, and your family can enjoy staying in it, I think you're going to have like a better kind of like satisfaction. You're going to enjoy the space. At the same time, you're staying in like a product or an asset class, a real estate asset class that actually accelerates while you live in it. Compared to, let's say you buy a 299, you rent out one, you stay in one, maybe a 3-bedder, then you buy another 2-bedder to rent out. Then maybe your level of satisfaction is not that high. You still have to manage your rental property. But I think in terms of comparison for 2x99 versus one landed will outperform the 2x99 that you have. Hope you answer your question. Now, next question.
What is pairing strategy?
Now, pairing strategy is basically referring to this graph. Now, this is our PLB pairing strategy. So basically, in every season, there are different pairings and there could be multiple pairings. That means there are different opportunities that you can adopt and you can approach, whether it's in an OCR region, RCR or CCR, because in certain season, CCR will move too much, too high, and there's room for RCR to grow. Then you should go for RCR. Certain season, RCR moves too high, too fast, OCR was lagging behind, then you should go for OCR. So you need to look at different season, the PSF movement and the quantum movement. And once you have identified the region, in each region, sometimes resale has a lagger effect towards new launches. Sometimes new launches look seemingly cheap because TOP and resale has moved too close in terms of PSF to the new launch and it makes sense to go for a new launch. So which was why in our previous webinar, we talked about the fact that in 2024 towards 2025, what is going to happen likely is that the disparity gap, we call this a 5 years gap. I feel that by 2025, new launch will look cheaper to go in because the PSF will start to make sense because resale is catching up for 2024. TOP properties are already asking prices way close to some of the new launches today. So I think 2024, 2025, especially 2025, the balance units will start to clear out aggressively. Also bearing the fact that 2024 have very little new launches. So I think 2025 is the year for most new launches to clear out and then developers will start to bid for land more aggressively. So what I meant by pairing strategy is basically talking about the fact that every season, importantly, note the pairing and then make a decision. And that is important before you look at the district, the MRT, the particular project near the MRT, the bedroom type and the quantum. So hunt for this first. Let's say there could be a pairing that RCR and resale make sense for 2024 or OCR and TOP project make sense for 2024. So this is just an example. But to further deep dive on the pairing that will work for 2024, you can of course click on the consult link, come into PRB, meet some of our senior consultants. They'll be able to share with you a little bit more. All right, next question.
Is it wise to go into a TOP project who has gone up quite a fair bit?
Thanks, Angeline, for the question. So basically, my own personal opinion is that TOP projects that has TOP in 2023, they are in the best positioning. That means the owners that have bought all these projects since 2019, 2020, and then they waited 3-4 years and there was some delayed construction for COVID. They got their keys 2023. they are either renting out, they're staying, or they are renting out and selling at the same time, or they are just putting up for sale the vacant unit, I think they're in a great position. Why? Number one, they're sitting on very good profit margin. They have no need to sell. I think if they want to sell, it's really because they want to profit and they want to take advantage of the profit to reinvest into a bigger property or landed or penthouse or whatever, or a four beta or something else. All right. So I think they have no urgency to sell. And all these owners, because they have waited 4 years, they will only sell if the profit makes sense. And thus, as a buyer's point of view, so as a seller's point of view, I think they're in a great position. They can sell or don't sell, or just rent out, or they can move in. If you are a buyer, I think something has to be very clear. Number one, why are you buying a TOP project? Is it because you're somebody that don't want to live in a property that other people have lived in before? Then that will be a personal preference kind of thing. Then you might also be somebody that don't want to go for a new launch because you don't want to wait 3-4 years for construction. Then you have to rent or stay with your parents, or you know, you cannot move in a new property immediately. Then my question is that why don't you consider resale? Because resale has a huge laggard now in terms of PSF towards new launch and towards TOP project. There are tons of resale options available near the MRT station. Great size. You can still go in, spend a little bit on renovation, or maybe don't renovate. Just spend 20, 30,000, just touch up a little bit. Wait for the resale PSF to move closer to the TOP PSF, and then you exit, and then you go for a new launch, or you then go for another TOP. So I think importantly is to understand your preference, the percentage that your preference must supersede the investment kind of nuances, right? If let's say you cannot go past your personal preference, or you and your partner's personal preference, that you definitely won't feel happy living in a resale property that somebody has lived in before. You get worried about the history of the house, you know, or you don't like older properties that are 10, 15, 20. I mean, there are good properties that have just, maybe like some ECs that have just hit MOP, or some resale that's like 10, 15 years old, but you can just spruce up a little bit, 50, 100,000, renovate. You can live there happily and you don't have to wait as well. PSF makes sense, right? So I'm not saying that TOP projects don't make sense. I'm saying that now the PSF level has risen to a range because the owners have holding power. They bought cheaper. They have no need to sell. They will only sell if it's this PSF. Then I think the question is that, do you really need to buy a TOP property to live in? If you don't, you can go for resale. If you really want a brand new one, then by all means, go ahead if really this is for your family's well-being. But I'm not saying that you will lose money. I'm just saying that once you go in now, because the PSF is quite close to some of the new launches, I think it will take some time for you to see profit. It might take 6, 7, 8 years, because take note, you need to wait for the new launches to finish clearing their balance units first over the next 2 years. Then new launches will hit a new high by 2026. Then your TOP project will start to move. So just take note of some of these things that I talk about. Next question.
Can we apply some of these frameworks for own stay in hope for appreciation within 10 years?
Basically, we have 10 steps in our mood analysis. The more you check off, the more possibility. Number one, I think the most important is the volume effect, because Singapore valuation appreciation is largely based on the volume of transactions. It's a little bit like if you were to buy like an equity stock, right? You want to hunt for something that has volume and popularity. Popularity is very important in Singapore because demand and supply, demand comes from popularity. If there's no demand, nothing happens. Even if a lot of people want to sell, nobody wants to buy, nothing will happen. Popularity results in demand. Demand results in volume. Volume results in transactions. So very importantly, go for something that has good volume.
Would you buy just a TOP 4-bedder in Woodleigh or a much larger 4-bedroom that is 8 years older but in a more central location in Novena or Bishan?
I think that's a great question because both are 4-bedder. Both are similar quantum, but what you're referring to is that this property that you've seen is that Novena and Bishan has a bigger quantum. Now, I don't know which project you're talking about in Woodleigh, but if it's like a smaller square feet, perhaps it's something that has just TOP'd. I would suggest that if the quantum is the same, if there's an opportunity in Novena, then go for Novena. Novena, of course, it belongs to 9, 10, 11. It's D11. I'm not sure whether it's this freehold or 999 or 99 years, but go into Novena if the volume effect makes sense. If it is, you're talking about boutique development, then you got to be a little bit careful about the volume effect. Why is it that it has the same quantum as Bishan and Woodley? Find out the rationale. If it has lack of transactions, then something to take note that appreciation might be slower in future, even though you can get it at the same quantum, great location. But if you don't mind holding it for like 10 years, then I think that's fine. Because boutique projects will usually pump up once every 10 years. 99's project with a huge volume, they can go up pretty steadily year on year basis. So boutique projects that are freehold, maybe 20, 30, 50, 80 units, 100 units, they tend to only shift up when the nearby new launches or 99 years has already risen up so much that they start to make a lot of sense, then they will start to push up. And then you can challenge the valuation. You can get your bankers to match up a little bit higher when it is in a bull market. A good project do not have to depend on a bull market. A project with a lack of volume have to depend on a bull market basis. So my question here is, find out what is that project first. Why is it that the quantum is the same? My suggestion is that if you were to go for Woodleigh or Bishan, take note of the quantum to ensure that it's not too close to landed quantum in Bishan and maybe in Polong Pasir area. Because if the landed quantum is very close to your 4 beta, when you want to sell next time, let's say you buy at 3.5 million example, and you want to sell at 4 million or 4.5 million, your next competitor will be the Inter Terraces nearby. They are freehold or 999. So something to take note of that. You don't want to create confusion for your buyers in future that they will contemplate whether to go for your $4 million 4 beta or go for like a $5 million inter-terrace or $4.5 million inter-terrace. Something to take note. All right, next question.
How do you compare between two mortgage packages?
Firstly, look at whether is it fixed or floating. Fixed rates, fantastic, depending on environment, depending on the current interest rate. Now, with SORA, fixed is at 3.1 to 3.2%. I think it's great to go for fixed. Let's say you can find a two-year package, just go for it. After 2 years, if Fed pivot, interest rate come down, you can refinance. Floating, unfortunately for new launches, there's only floating packages and definitely you have to go for it. So I think comparing mortgage packages have to be dependent on season. And always note that it's not the end of the world. You can always refinance. So something to play around with is firstly, look at fixed or floating, whether does it suit you at this season. Number two is that, what is the lock-in period? So lock-in period is important if let's say you intend to decouple, you intend to refinance, you don't want to be trapped with the lock-in period and you intend to sell. Let's say you are already planning to sell the property next year. Then don't go and take a 3 years lock-in period because you'll be taxed with the penalty cost of terminating your 3 years fixed package. So basically, if you already intend to sell in 1 to 2 years time, then just stick to floating, refinance to floating rate. But that's the third thing to take note is that refinance and repricing are different. Refinance is switching of banks. Let's say now you are with OCBC, you want to refinance to UOB. That's refinance and there's legal costs involved. Sometimes banks will have some legal subsidy and all that kind of stuff. If you go for a lock-in period, talk to that with a mortgage broker. Number two is that if you want to stay with the same bank, let's say now you're a DBS, but there's a new package that DBS have and you have completed a lock-in period, then you can recall DBS again, say that I want to do a reprice to your latest package I saw online. So that's repricing. There's repricing admin fee, but it's not as high as a legal fee of refinancing. So take note of three things. Fixed floating. Number two, lock-in period. Take note of that. Lock-in period, if you want to decouple or sell, don't go for fixed. Don't go for lock-in, all right? Number three is that reprice and refinance are different things, all right? So hope that it helps.
Property market for 3 beta, 1.2 mil. Can we still find in Northeast region?
Can, but dwindling. I think it's dwindling. It's getting smaller. That means you want to get a 3 beta, 1.2 million, maybe it will be those 800-900 square feet type or maybe at max 1,000, but it's dwindling. I believe this classification of 3 betas between 1.2 to 1.4 million is going to get fully absorbed in the next 12 months as a lot more HDB upgraders realize the fact that after I sell my HDB, there's nothing much to buy. I better buy something soon that is 3 beta, OCR, near to the area that I sold my HDB and maybe I'm comfortable in Northeast or maybe in the North area, I better get something soon. So I think this classification of quantum is dwindling, especially for 3 billion. And 3 billion are hot favorites in OCR region, in Northeast region. These are hot favorite products compared to 2 or 1 beta. So 3 and 4 betas are hot favorite products. So I think if you're in the season of switching, take note of this quantum. Next question.
Freehold condo at 3 to 4 mil or landed at 5 to 6 mil. Which has a better growth potential? Looking at D9, 10, 11 or 15.
Most importantly, now if you have look at the latest webinar that me and Beatrice has done. Freehold condo at 3 to 4 million, D9, 10, 11 or 15, yes, you can get. A lender at 5 to 6 million, which has a better growth potential. Growth potential, naturally, I think definitely we want to look at demand and supply factors. Condo applies to international market, applies to PR, Singaporeans, foreigners in Singapore, foreigners not in Singapore. Of course, there's ABSD involved for different classification of citizenship. But I think just for the very fact that condos are increasing by about 10,000 units per annum. Now we have 360,000. Next year we have 370, 380, 390, 400,000 units. Lender is stuck at 73,000 for the last 11 years. I think what is naturally happening is that lender is like a flight to safety for people that has holding power and for big land possibility of revalue adding by A&E, tearing down, rebuilding. And it's 73,000 is so little. And I think there are also trends on the ground that families are combining, maybe brothers and siblings combining, sisters and siblings, sisters and parents combining they sell off each of their condo, buy a huge landed together. There's more holding power. I think naturally, if you can find like a semi-D, 4.5 to 5 over million in the OCR region or 5 over million, 6 million in the RCR region, I think is entryable. Is that such a word? I think it's entryable. Go for it. You're going to enjoy much more growth, in my own opinion, for the next 5 years compared to some of the condos that you just mentioned. Of course, there's going to be clear winners for some condos. There's so many condos available, 9, 10, 11, and 15. There'll be some winners that might outperform some landed, but if you want that luxury or space in this season, plus a more, I think, clearer route for growth potential, lender will be a better kind of choice, in my own opinion, if you happen to be somebody that can go for it in this season. Now,
what is the formula for absorption ratio?
Thanks for asking this question. One of the rationale that PRB would love to create new frameworks is because we realize that there's some gaps in the market that will allow us to create some frameworks to help our property buyers and investors really start to look at things from different angles. Of course, not all frameworks are perfect. Usually it requires a combination of frameworks like mode analysis, trifactor, disparity effect, absorption ratio. No framework is perfect, and we cannot just use one framework for a decision-making process. We need to use like at least 2 to 3 different frameworks. So this is the latest one that we developed. Absorption ratio. The calculation is that we look at the current inventory in the market using the current number of listings that we can see from the most popular portal in Singapore, which is Property Guru. Of course, in Property Guru, the disclaimer is that there might be duplicated listings because some owners might adopt an open listing approach to appoint 5 to 10 agents to market the same property. And thus, let's say if we see that this district for 3-bedder condos, there is like 200 listings, right? Maybe we need to shave off 20-30%. And for that amount, we are not able to decipher what is the exact duplicated listings, but it would be good to just look at that as a whole. But for illustration purposes, what we have done is that with this, we just take the current inventory as full and whole. So we take that divide by the monthly sales rate from Jan to today. So that allows us to see like things like this. For example, absorption rate of resale HDB by HDB type. Example, 5-room flats, dark blue color. If you see a lower number, it means that it might mean that there's a higher absorption rate. If it's a higher number, it means it might take a longer period to sell, in the sense that there are so-called like more listings but less demand. So basically, absorption ratio allows us to look at things in terms of speed. That means, for example, it's a little bit like just assuming, let's say you own all the inter-terraces in District 15. And let's say one day you come to us and say, hey, Melvin, help me to sell everything. And if let's say the absorption ratio, the number for D15 inter-terraces is, let's say 25. That means it will take 25 months for us to find a buyer to absorb all your listings. But let's say if the number is 5, that means it will take 5 months for us to absorb all the listings based on the current transaction number on a month-to-month basis. So basically, that's what absorption ratio does, in the sense that it talks about speed. It talks about speed of absorption. So lower number, easier to sell. Higher number, harder to exit. Basically, that's what it means. All right, thanks for the question. I think Singapore currency is always getting stronger. It's now a buyer's or seller's market. Now is definitely a buyer's market. Why is it a buyer's market?
If the train from Singapore reached KL, would Singapore rental be low in demand?
All right, so we have come to the end of our first AMA episode. We hope to see you on the next round. We're going to do AMA part 2. And wishing you a wonderful start to 2024. And thank you for staying tuned on Nuggets on the Go. Do remember to click the subscribe button. Support us. Leave a comment below. We're open for comments. Ask any questions. I'll do my best to answer. And also share this video with some of your friends who have passion in real estate in Singapore. And we hope to see you soon on NOTG. Take care.